Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody.
Testing. Okay,
David,
let's roll.
We started 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our bracket rundown show. We're recording this.
Chad, can I get out now of the puppet bunker?
David, I'm doing the introduction now. Shut up.
When you're done doing the introduction, will you let me out?
We'll talk. This is our bracket rundown show. We're recording this live on tape delay here on March 5. That's Thursday evening around 9:30 p.m. Eastern. What we've done on this show is I've asked each of our panelists. Let me introduce them first of all. We've got Mike Chawback with us up top here. We've got David Griggs, unfortunately, up top here with us as well. We have Joby Fortson and John Tytel down at the bottom.
Get out of here.
Our good friend Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org might be joining us along the way here, but
please
we're
let me out of here.
What we did is I asked each of our panelists, together with Rocco, who's not here, and John Sleek, also couldn't be on the show tonight, to submit their top 55 teams in the nation, regardless of conference. I kind of cross-country scored them, created a master seed list, one through whatever. And
68, Chad. There are 68 teams in the tournament, as there were last year and the year before.
Okay,
it did not change.
It's four too many still. and what did we do then? And then I created the bracket. I went and bracketed up all the teams. And then what we're going to do on the show is kind of do what the TBS and CBS will be doing on Selection Sunday and revealing them. And let's go ahead and pull up the screen here. Oh, wait. What is that, David?
That it, Chad, I really want to get out of here. I've been locked in here for 3 days. I don't need to stay in here.
David Griggs is coming to us live, by the way, from Frisco, Texas. He is at the site of the Conference USA Tournament in the Puppet Bunker right down there, already there, waiting for the games to
this
start.
This is nothing like Joe Lunati's bracket bunker. His has a door. He can come in and out. He can leave the building if he wants to.
Why does David's puppet bunker have one less bar next to it? Shouldn't it be the opposite way around?
Well, we don't want him drinking too much. We're trying to protect the public here. It's a service. But, yes, it does. That's one of the great things, actually, David. When they start the games next week, we're going to have you find out why there's only one bar on your side and two on the media workspace side.
What difference does it make? I'm locked in here. I don't know what's going on.
let's get into it here. But what we have here is a bracket. Well, is a board basically of the games that I bracketed it up offline, and I'm going to do is reveal these teams, at least for the first four lines, one at a time. We're going to have a little discussion about each of those 16 teams. After that, we'll go four teams at a time, discuss everybody that's in, discuss some of the top teams that missed out. But let's get right to it then, and let's discuss the number one team overall. And I don't think it's any surprise it was absolutely unanimous.
Wow! Shocker! Oh my God!
I disagree.
Mike, you want to disagree with Kansas? Go ahead. You got the floor.
They suck. I mean, they you know how they looked against TCU in the first half. That no way they're in number one.
Yeah. Best profile in the nation, though. Mike's gone. All right. And the number two team station from the same conference, obviously Baylor. I guess the only question I think that remains here, Joby, is can anybody catch these two teams for the top two spots?
Baylor can be caught. They need to give others help. They can be caught. And if the Zags win out and they beat BYU/St. Mary's along the way, and which presumably they would.
That would be the West Coast Conference final.
That's most likely who they'd face in the final. That's
an 11-round event, by the way.
Yeah, West Coast Conference. Go on Hoops HD, folks, and see the ladder for the West Coast Conference. It's a lot of fun to look at. But yes, I think they can be caught. But Baylor needs to do a lot of help, like lose twice. Their first round game happened to play one of the non-NCAA tournament teams in that role, like a surging Iowa State or something.
Yeah. It's that time of year where we can do a little more accurate speculating. So a couple of questions to our selection committee guessing experts. I think we know the answer. If these two face each other in the conference championship game, the winner is the overall number one. But can Baylor jump over Kansas if they win – the tournament, but don't face Kansas?
Joby?
No.
Okay. Well, but what you're saying here, though, is Kansas is going to suffer a loss to somebody that's not Baylor. Kansas is going to suffer a loss to Oklahoma State in the 1-8 game. I mean, is that what you're saying, David?
Well, potentially. I mean, we've seen that before, but we've also seen the committee not do anything in that situation when a team loses. Like,
I think he is stuck on number one and not moving. I mean,
unless maybe Baylor beats them.
Maybe if they lose twice, if they lose Texas Tech tomorrow, Saturday as well.
So awesome. I mean, it has so many tournament-style wins. It is just – they're just lapping the field, and that includes
– There it is. Look at that profile right there.
It's fairly decent, yes. I mean, like, you know, they've done a halfway decent job this year.
Let me go back here and let's go take a look at the – ooh, that's the wrong screen. That's the SEC standings. How about this screen here? Number three overall, no surprise either, Tytel, was the Zags, who have two games left. They will have a West Coast Conference semifinal against somebody that they should beat, and then potential rematch against BYU in the West Coast Conference championship game next Tuesday.
I pray it is, because their last game was amazing, and BYU could be the only thing standing between Gonzaga and going to Los Angeles. We had debated for the past, it seems like, month, whether the Aztecs might take this spot and send the Zags east. Obviously, that is not the case. I think you're on the money with this.
Right. And number four overall is – we do have San Diego State in here, number four overall. They struggled today with Air Force, but got the win, yep.
Right. They have been struggling. Now, they've been winning, and I realize, like, profile-wise, a win is a win is a win, but not just today. They've kind of been sleepwalking. Now, I think not so much in terms of where they're going to be seated, because whether or not they're a one or a two, I think once you get past the round of 64, it's not going to matter. But I thought this is a team that was built to go into the second weekend and maybe beyond. Now I'm starting to have my doubts, but I guess my question with them is, are they a little bit bored with their season right now and they just need the NCAA tournament to really get mentally stimulated again, or do they not have the shelf life that maybe their record indicates?
David, I actually think it is the former. However, it is really tough to turn a light switch on and off. We actually saw it for years with the Zags, unable to turn on that switch. It took them a while before Mark Few got his Final Four run. I think San Diego State, they are legit. They are a good team. But turning on that switch is a lot easier said than done.
Well, I just want to throw one other note out here before we keep going, that these votes were sent in earlier today, which means the games that were played tonight were not factored in. Most notably Ohio State, Illinois, and the Houston loss to UConn. We're not quite at those teams yet, but just wanted to throw that out there. I meant to say at the start of the show, but let's
Out that the loss at UConn is not necessarily a bad loss.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to get to Houston on this level. We're actually getting to number five team overall, though.
Wait, oh, well, thanks for the spoiler, Chad. I mean, this is supposed to be a reveal. Houston not on the two line, in case you were wondering.
Yes, in case you're wondering. David, I know, David, you did vote them number one overall, but let's take a look here. Mike, when we look at this Dayton team, this is the team, if San Diego State does slip up, do you think Dayton can sneak in there onto the one line?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dayton's right there. The way that they stomped at Rhode Island, I mean, you know, if they win the Atlantic 10, I think they're – and if San Diego State slips up, I think Dayton is primed to snatch that last number one seed.
And a quick little minor bracketing rule here. Dayton is actually closer to Indy, which would be the Midwest region, than New York and the East region. However, the number five overall team cannot be bracketed in the same region as the number one overall team. That's one of the rules they put in a few years ago. That is why Dayton – goes east instead of to Indianapolis. If Dayton loses, falls to six or seven overall, expect them in that Midwest region.
Yeah. The one thing, I think I've been voting them a little lower. I still had them really high, like solidly on the two line. But if the committee gave them a six last month and they haven't lost since then, it's not unreasonable to think that they would give them a four if they went out and somebody ahead of them drops a game, especially if it's to a non-tournament team, which it would be in the case of San Diego State.
And it's kind of in terms of regions, Dayton would stay in the East if they move up to the one line. San Diego State would get the advantage of going to Los Angeles. So yeah. Does San Diego State want to lose tomorrow to Boise State? We'll see. Number six overall, Tytel. Seton Hall, the first place team in the Big East, despite slipping up at Villanova last night.
Yeah, I think that as of today, I have them sixth. They're certainly not going to be trending too far downward because it was a great game and they almost won it at the buzzer and stuff. But, yeah, I think that it's a good pick for now, but I think that the Big East tourney champ might end up as the 2 seed in the Midwest, maybe the East, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Again, we could move up to the East, for example, if San Diego State went to the West and because Dayton moved up, that could open up the East region. Joby, you're our ACC guy. Here's our ACC team, Florida State here.
Florida State survived against Notre Dame last night. You know, Notre Dame
survived. 19 seconds they led that game. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame had them, and they let it. You know, it's the Dennis Green. We had them, we let them off the hook. You know, without a doubt. But Florida State did show resiliency. Notre Dame's playing better. They're only NIT level, but they at least are an NIT level, and you walk into their place. And most importantly, from a Florida State standpoint, they have the inside straight now for the conference championship in the regular season and the 1 seed. And that will carry some weight going forward. Yes. At the end of the day, I think we'll look and see where Florida State, Duke, and Louisville all shake out to see who earns themselves a 2 versus a 3. But Florida State right now is the team that you would think has earned that right for the 2 seed.
And to finish off the 2 line here, we have that second Big East team, Mike Villanova. Got the big win against Seton Hall last night, and a profile that I like a lot better than I think most people here. I think I had the highest rate of anybody.
Teams to beat Kansas.
Yeah, let me. I pull up that Villanova profile here, but what about this team? That I almost think they've been a little bit disrespected, at least from our panel recently.
Yeah.
David. Yeah.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, it's a phenomenal profile. Like, you know, at Creighton, at Seton Hall, you're talking about. Presumably 2 wins on the road against protected seeds. The home win against Kansas, while at home, Kansas has only lost 3 all season, so they deserve a ton of credit for that, even though they were playing at home. You know, and really, when you look at the losses, while 7 may seem like a lot, it isn't when you look at where they've lost and who they've lost to.
All Tier 1A, except for the Providence game.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, Providence is solidly in the field.
And Providence is hot.
Yeah, and Providence is super hot. And when they lost that game, it was by 4 against a team that I don't know. I'm assuming Providence will make our field, and they'll probably be seeded accordingly. But they are playing above the level of their profile right now by a ton. There's more so than anybody else. Providence's paper does not indicate how good they are on the court right now, and it's really not even close.
Let's take a look at the 3 seeds here.
Oh, Chad, can I say one thing?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I think whoever, if it's a Villanova, Seton Hall, or maybe even Creighton winning the Big East tournament, they have a chance at the number 1 seed if a San Diego State and Dayton slip.
Well, how about that? You know, could the Big East champ get up there?
Would have to break. Yeah. Several things would have to break their way, but it's possible.
I think you're right. We need a Dayton loss and a San Diego State loss.
Right.
And a win out by one of those teams. I think it's a possibility, yeah.
I think one of those teams will win out. Mm-hmm. The question is, does the slip happen?
Well, wait a second. Well, Creighton and Seton Hall are going to play this weekend, Joby, first of all, before we get to the Big East tournament.
I got two shot. I think you'll see a team win out. Yes.
Tytel, number 9 overall, the 3 seed there in the East region is Maryland, the top team in the Big Ten, and the team that just went and lost to Rutgers the other night. Your thoughts on the Terps?
Thoughts on the rack is that they could still beat Golden State there, as always. The Terps are playing with fire. They got Cowan and Smith, one of the best guard-forward combinations in the entire country. I don't lose sleep about losing 2 Rutgers on the road because most people do it. I would say that we got to think about Creighton in this spot. I'm sure they're going to be on the 3 line, but Maryland better turn it around because they look to be cruising to a Big Ten title, and now I am having serious doubts.
Well, at number 10 overall.
I would like to point out that
big spoiler here. Tytel totally spoiled it. Yes, Creighton, right. Number 10 overall. just right behind Maryland. David, you had a comment on it?
Oh, no. It's just like my genius. People are starting to catch up to it in regards to Auburn and Maryland and all these other – St. Mary's, all these other teams.
I had Maryland rated lowest of any of us, even lower than you did, David.
Oh, wow. No, I think I had them rated about right here.
Yeah, I had them on the
floor. I'm actually starting to like them more. That's what's kind of funny.
Joby at number 11 overall behind that Creighton team, also on the three line. I think we're in the West region. We are with Michigan State now.
Yeah.
Red hot Michigan State team that was down on the 5 and 6 line a few weeks ago.
Well, and I said, you know, on Monday's show that the team that will be underseeded is still Michigan State for what they are going to probably do in the tournament. Their profile, this is where they belong. But they're a one seed in my opinion. I mean, Kansas is certainly the smart pick, but if you the popular pick, but if you want a team not named Kansas, it wouldn't be Baylor for me. It'd be Michigan State. Izzo in the tournament. Woe is Villanova. Yeah, Jay Wright's pretty good in the tournament too. but gosh, I Michigan State's hitting on all cylinders, finally doing what we thought they were preseason. But without Langford. So, yeah, give them credit on that. So, but they're doing what a lot of people thought they'd be doing.
Well, if we look a little bit ahead there, Michigan State, if they win out, it means Maryland will have suffered a loss. Right. We know two out of three of Creighton and Seton Hall, Villanova will lose games. If Florida State doesn't win the ACC tournament, they'll have lost a game. There's a real easy path, I think, toward the two line here for Michigan State, easy path to them.
Absolutely.
Well, if you want to consider winning out and then winning the Big Ten tournament,
if you look how they play, that's all they got to do to get to the two line.
Wow!
But they win the Big Ten tournament.
Rocco's here. Rocco's here.
David, other people are talking. Quiet.
it's still a little earlier here, and I had two packages arrive right when the
show started.
So, how are you guys?
Great, Rocco. Hopefully, you can see the screen here. We're all the way up to the three line already. See where we are. Why don't I throw you right into the wolves here and have you talk about the number 12 overall team, right behind Michigan State, and that's Kentucky got on the three line now.
Yeah. So I noticed a certain team from Durham is not on the board yet, and that would be a pretty interesting decision if we got through these 11 teams and it was a decision between this one and the team from Durham. I kind of like it because Kentucky is going to win their conference, and I think the committee gives you a little bit of extra credit for winning your league outright in the regular season, and winning a major conference is no small feat. Kentucky, of course, took a tough loss this week, but they were red hot before that, and I'm okay with this.
Yeah, you see the team from Durham there on the right, and – you know, I like the Kentucky profile. I think mostly, though, for exactly the reason that Rocco said, that they are – you're projecting them as a conference champion. You're projecting Duke as a second or third place finisher. Now, maybe if they win the ACC tournament, things turn around for Duke, though.
Yeah, and both these resumes – oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Chad, I agree. I think the key, too, is based on what we saw the last couple of years, the committee likes to get done pretty early Saturday. So – if Duke can just get to the final and maybe beat one of the big three in the semis, whether that be Louisville, or it probably would have to be Louisville. If they beat Louisville in that semi, that could be enough to get them the three.
Actually, Rocco, remember, Louisville travels to a particular Virginia location this weekend.
Yes.
They don't have a clear path necessarily. Mm. And that same team has the tiebreaker versus those Blue Devils.
Virginia can finish first.
Okay.
But can't finish first anymore, thanks to Notre Dame. That's Boston College. Can go to Tallahassee and win. Not happening. But, yeah, two is very realistic. Two is actually, if you were projecting games out what you think they would be, two is actually likely where Virginia.
Well, number 13 overall, no surprise, the Duke team that we were just discussing here. They would be in the East region. But, Titel, let me go beyond that Duke team to number 14 overall, the second of our fourth seeds. And that's Louisville. Just got mentioned as well.
What a shame that Duke is relegated to playing in Greensboro. I feel so bad for them. Louisville in Tampa seems like a good pick. I remember when we were talking about the ACC having maybe a trio of top three seeds. I think you're right that they are falling a bit. I still think that Louisville will be in trouble in this bracket only because you got few Izzo and Jay Wright. And while I love the Louisville coaching staff, they are outmatched by those three guys.
Yeah. Just want to make a quick note here. The next team up is a team that you would think would have been put in the West region. There's a thing called region balance where you've got to make certain that the regions are not overly skewed one way or the other, and it actually created a problem, the whole region balance thing, which is why Oregon actually ends up in the South region instead of the West. Still playing in Spokane, but Joby, the Ducks, the top Pac-12 team here in on the four line.
Yeah, and the Pac-12 is giving them strength to be able to buoy this. If this was mentioned off screen earlier, if Oregon wins out, that I think there is a path to the three line, precisely because the ACC teams are going to beat up each other. The Big East teams, if Creighton, for instance, loses to the Hall and loses some in the tournament, I think that's a pathway team. I think Oregon actually can play their way. I feel confident if they went out, they could wind up on the three.
Yeah, and but Mike, Oregon, before they go, they've got a game tonight that's, I think, it started right around now against Cal, and they got Stanford at home still. They got an interesting test on Saturday.
That's a test?
Stanford?
Yeah. The red-hot Stanford team, are they not?
It might be a plan.
It'll be a tough game, but the fact that it's at Oregon, Oregon should win both of those games, to be honest.
All right. Let's take a look at the number 16 overall.
Final protected
David, seed. Final protected seed is Ohio State.
Ooh, that's higher than where I thought they'd be.
Improved their profile tonight with a nice home win over Illinois as well.
Yeah, they're good. I just didn't think they would sneak into the protected seed range. But, you know, a team that's definitely – I mean, overall their profile is really good. They've been playing well down the stretch. I guess. Why not?
Okay, I guess why not?
Well, Auburn's been slipping, and that's opened the door for an Ohio State.
Shockingly, yeah. I did not have Auburn as a protected seed. I know that everyone on this panel is –
Don't lose to A&M at home and be a protected seed.
I'll tell you what. I actually would have had a Big Ten team here as well. I would have had a different – red hot Big Ten team though.
Whiskey.
Are they red?
Okay. They yes. Are red. I'm not talking Rutgers. I'm talking Wisconsin. Yeah, Joby.
Yeah, Wisconsin. I mean, okay. So David, Chad, who hates Wisconsin on this panel? Because I know three people now who had them in the 16th spot.
Yeah,
I agree. But I had Ohio State 17. This will play itself out and it will solve itself in the Big Ten tournament most likely. Yeah.
I agree. Rocco, I'm going to bring up all four of the five seeds right now. These are potential second-round opponents for those four seeds. No surprise that Wisconsin is going to be on this line there over in Greensboro. We've also got another Big Ten team here in Penn State, Auburn, who Mike just mentioned, and Butler finishing out this line.
I agree with Wisconsin, Penn State, and I can be okay with Auburn, but I would actually have just above them both BYU and Michigan here. So I'm a little in disagreement there. I just think Butler has lost too many games. They haven't done enough away from Hinkle to warrant even getting on the five line quite yet, especially compared to, you know, BYU's got that huge win and they've done some great things away from home. I think they're still the only team to win at Houston, for example. So I like BYU in this section, but besides that, I'm good with the rest.
Yeah, and Tytel, the Butler profile here, if you ignore the fact that a lot of these losses have come recently, they've got a lot of good there.
A lot of good. I wonder if the Providence loss might end up as Tier 1 at some point. But, yeah, you get it done not just against Big East, but Stanford, Florida, like going out of conference and stuff. I agree with Rocco. It's a lot of losses for this line. But I think I would go with BYU also. But, obviously, Butler has a chance to pick up several more quality wins. BYU might only have Gonzaga, which would obviously be another huge feather in their cap. But I think this is something where today it's BYU, call me next week, and it might be Butler.
Well, at BYU might get St. Mary's again in the semifinal, too.
John!
So, yeah. St. Mary's, I think we'll be talking about that before we're done today.
We will.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I agree.
Defending WCC tournament champs. Come on, guys.
let's take a look at the sixth line as well. Joby, let me bring you in here for the sixth line. And we've BYU, who we just discussed, yeah. Michigan, who we just discussed, along with Iowa and Illinois, a big you know, five Big Ten teams in the last two lines here.
I can't disagree too much. And remember, Illinois, you can't punish Illinois too much. They lost to Ohio State, who we already have as a protected seed. So, this is a good line. This is exactly where the Big Ten teams should land. I'm glad to see – it'll be interesting. We on this panel recognize and are high on BYU. Oh, yeah. I am going to be interesting to see if the committee goes forth and follows through where we are. I think they are on the sixth line right now by the committee, but man, it's close. And they could fall to a seven if they don't, if they prematurely lose in the WCC, they definitely do. And if they don't beat St. Mary's in a semifinal, they might.
Well, they have a bye to the semifinal. So
right. No. If they don't beat St. Mary's in the semifinal.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
If I could just make one comment on BYU, I think two things we learned during the bracket reveal that bodes well for BYU is they like a good net ranking and they like a good strength of schedule. BYU's got both. They're number nine in both. They're number nine in non-conference strength of schedule, number nine in the net. If they can stay around this area and perform well, even lose to Gonzaga, I think they can hang.
I'm with you on BYU, the quality of BYU. However, I will say this. Tytel, Arizona are prime candidates for what in the hell is the net doing? Yeah, because both of them are not three seeds, okay? Let's just be honest here.
Yeah, we're not talking Arizona being this field yet. I'll pull their profile up on the left here, though. As you see that, the very strange net of 10, and you look at something like the SOR of 44. I mean, that's one of the biggest differences that you see out there. It's very strange profile for Arizona.
Because, I mean, and this is why. If you want to know why, look at some of their good wins are just absolute blowouts. And to their credit, when they lose Gonzaga, close. 80 to 84, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I actually, and this is what I think a problem with the net is, sorry to go off a little bit on this. The problem is they don't have that differentiation point between a loss and a win as much as they should, because I'm sorry, a 1-point loss is not merely a fraction below a 1-point win. I think there needs to be a gap mathematically between the two. And I worry that they are looking, because they're focused on efficiency ratings.
Well, yeah.
They're different when they're up and when they're down.
Focused on efficiency ratings, and that's a fifth of it. And then, you know, the other thing, the margin of victory, the difference between a 1-point win and a 1-point loss is 2. Yeah. So, like regard, it's the same as
right. And 1 versus 3. Yeah,
that's the problem.
So 40% of the formula has nothing to do with whether or not you won or lost.
Okay, let's move on.
Anyway, moving on.
Let's move on to the 7 line
that
here.
That has to be corrected for the future.
Yeah, Mike. Here's the 7 line. I want to get your comments on it first. I'll get a few other people's comments. We've got West Virginia. We've got Joby's Virginia Cavaliers. We've got Marquette, and we've got Colorado. Do you think that we got this right? The 7 line.
I think Virginia shouldn't be at a 7. I mean, I like them, but not at 7.
Really? You think they're lower than that or higher?
Yeah. I had them in the 8-9 category.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Virginia then. Tytel, let me bring you in here on Joby's team. You know, that home win over Duke, isn't that enough to kind of push them up here into the 7 line?
I had them closer to the 8 line myself, but certainly trending upward, and ESPN has them locked in, so I don't have a problem with them here. And personally, I assume Joby as well would love to see Virginia Villanova Part 3 after that. I believe they played a home-and-home were amazing over the past few years.
Yeah, so you were seeing some of these potential second-round matchups there, and there it is, Virginia Villanova.
And if I know that they don't have the last 10 anymore in the room, but when you've won 10 of your last 11 against – sorry, the ACC is still down, but it's still the ACC. 10 of 11 against the ACC. That raises some eyebrows, I bet, in the committee.
Rocco, West Virginia got one of the most important wins of the season when they went and beat a lowly Iowa State team on the road this week. Did they not?
Yeah, they did. They had to stop the bleeding, and they were able to do it in Hilton, which, you know, even though Iowa State's got a lost season, it's not easy to walk in there and get a win. So at least they've got a pulse. I think they got it. Don't they have a big one this weekend against I'm trying to remember. Is it Kansas this weekend?
They have Baylor this weekend.
Oh, it's Baylor. Okay, yeah. So we'll see how competitive they are in that one. Baylor's also been showing a little bit of signs of weakness lately, so that could be interesting. The one team I have an issue with on this line, I've actually had Marquette really free-falling right now. They had a brutal loss to DePaul. I've actually got them all the way down to a 9 right now.
Wow. Yeah.
And I couldn't argue too much with that. But let's take a look at some of these 8 seeds here.
Rocco, I mean, you have them on the bubble. In theory, that's a bubble.
Yeah, well, there's only one game left. So I think they're safe to get in. I think their seed's taken a big hit lately.
Wow. Okay.
Tytel, the eight line, we've got Houston, Providence, Arizona State, and Arizona. So your team, your hated rivals, Houston before the loss to UConn, and a red-hot Providence team. It's a real interesting line, I think.
It is. I wish we could have had Baylor and Houston in Houston. Obviously, that's not going to happen.
They're not allowed to play
ASU and the Zags get to stay out west while Arizona gets to go to Sacramento to face a previously undefeated team and then maybe head east to New York City, which would be very special for one of us. No, I think this is a quality line. Providence is making strides arguably more than anybody else. Obviously, Virginia's been on a tear too, but Providence, when you look at them, even like 12 days ago to where they are now, like all they do is go play the best teams in the Big East and beat them every single game.
And I look at this profile. I've reached a point where I can now, when I see five tier 1A wins, three of them on the road, I can now actually pretty much ignore those bad losses that happened earlier in the year back in November, because this team...
Well, if you're ignoring them, then aren't they a protected seed?
This is a dangerous team for, as an 8 seed against the 1 seed they'd be playing. A very dangerous team, are they not?
They won at
Butler. They won at Marquette. They beat Seton Hall.
Yeah, and there's going to be another team that I hope is in the field that is playing better than what their paper indicates, but probably not to the degree that Providence is. Providence is playing like a protected seed. They won't get one, but that's how good they are playing right now.
Yeah,
and the team you're mentioning probably can't play in the West region.
Houston suffered the loss at UConn. That was not tonight. That was not factored into this. But it's a team that it's a team that Joby, we discussed it the other night. I think this team may have a line or two higher if they win the American regular season title, which they might not do now. That might be tough.
That's the thing is now. I think tonight's loss actually will move them to where they deserve to be, which is
10.
10 or maybe 11 if they do poorly in the American tournament. They don't win the American tournament. If they don't even have a share of the American, 10, 11, they should be thankful. Yeah, and because another one of their good wins right now, it's a long way to go, but another one of the other only party mate who's in the tournament from the American right now might not be after tonight because of how they're playing.
Yeah, there's the standings there. They are now tied for Cincinnati for second place, and yeah, they're hosting Memphis this weekend. Tulsa's at Wichita State, so Tulsa might lose that game, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Wichita State's getting jammed up in the pyramid right now.
Mm-hmm. Old rival, too. Tulsa and Wichita are old rivals, so that's always a fun
one. Very old, yes. They are, though.
Let's pull up the 9 seeds, and we'll see some potential first-round games, among other things here, so starting a little more exciting. We got Houston playing USC, Providence playing LSU, Arizona State Xavier, and Tytel, Arizona gets St. Mary's.
David's favorite. I like our chances.
9 seed? My God, what is wrong with everybody?
St. Mary's in nearby Sacramento. I mean, I have a home game for them.
It's tough. I really think that I didn't think Josh Green was going to be the big X factor on this team, but they've been, as we saw last weekend in Los Angeles, horrible without – I mean, they have single-digit losses. Horrible is a strong word. But they cannot win without him so far. I don't know how healthy he's going to be by then. Certainly the geography is not great, although Arizona has a lot of fans and alums and students who will go to California. So even if it is in St. Mary's backyard, I'm not too worried about that one.
Right.
You could be playing on St. Mary's campus, and I don't think you'd be –
I'll be honest, Chad. I would nickname this the Tom Petty line because these teams are all free fall. I mean,
USC had a good weekend last weekend. They swept the Arizona school.
That's true, but they righted a ship that they were playing very Andy Infield, as in, weren't they in the tournament we asked in March?
St. Mary's has done nothing to indicate.
Okay. If you want to hear about St. Mary's, go listen to any podcast we've done for the last two months here. David doesn't like that. The rest of us all believe that they're good enough to be a team. You know that David thinks Georgetown is better than them, but
yes.
Griggs actually put out a very sarcastic St. Mary's tweet over the weekend, and I just wanted to comment on that because I think every St. Mary's fan took it seriously. You ended up with about 20 likes from a bunch of people out here. It was awesome.
I would point out in St. Mary's description, they beat three teams that we in this field are wearing white. That's pretty good for a team from the WCC.
I mean, Whiskey, who are the other two?
Arizona State. And BYU, who we're all saying is awesome. Yeah, you know.
Well, the two games against BYU were instant, you know, very awesome games, unbelievable. So yeah, I think that's going to be a fantastic semifinal coming up.
And they played well in the game at Gonzaga to end the season.
They did play well in that game.
They did not play well at Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm. They also beat Utah State, who we're going to discuss at some point tonight. Let's take a look at the 10 seeds.
Jerry Palm.
If Utah State's in the field, we have a serious problem.
Oh, Jerry Palm has him in the field, so that's good.
Jerry Palm needs his house checked for lead. Love the guy, but he's.
I love Jerry too.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's very
Rocco, here's our 10 seeds. We've got Florida taking on West Virginia, Texas Tech getting in playing Marquette, Indiana against Virginia, and Oklahoma against Colorado in an all Big 8 matchup.
Mostly good with these. Texas Tech, I've got a little bit lower now. Mm-hmm. So if I could replace them, I would throw Northern Iowa under consideration at this point. But we're splitting hairs.
Yeah, I think we're talking 10 seed, 11 seed. I think Texas Tech was towards the bottom of the 10 line here anyhow when we did our voting as it all ended up. Florida, a dangerous team, but they do need a couple more wins to lock themselves in as well.
Yeah.
I'd love Florida to beat a West Virginia team that seems to be trailing off.
I could see Florida being seen whole as well. But go ahead, David.
I was just a little surprised Oklahoma was this high. I mean, I thought we were a little bit apprehensive about them, and there's another team in their conference that I honestly think has passed them at this point.
I don't think they've passed them because of what Oklahoma did this past week. They had a little bit of a bounce back as well with a nice win over Texas Tech where they absolutely crushed them.
But that other team
has also had some really nice wins.
Actually, and then they lost to that other team.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it was close, and I believe that it is fairly close. I think we're going to see that other team 1 second. Let's go ahead and pull up the 11 line. I can pull up three out of the four 11 seeds actually here. Joby, what you're going to see here in the South region, you're going to see that team we were just discussing, Texas. UCLA in at the versus Iowa, and East Tennessee State inside the bubble playing
above Northern Iowa.
Yep, above Northern Iowa.
And I actually agree that East Tennessee State's a half step ahead of Northern Iowa on that. I didn't know the bracketing rules allowed UCLA to even be in the West region. I know, are they not technically the host? But that's
Pepperdine. Pepperdine's the host.
Pepperdine's the host, okay. Yeah. But Texas is the team that David and I obviously were talking about. I think
you got Butler in Indianapolis. I just noticed that.
Yes, yeah, so because
the Horizon League's the host. They can be.
Yeah, Horizon League.
So UCLA, Texas have very similar resumes in both a positive way. These were two teams. Everybody on this panel and everybody who follows this for a living, Lunardi, Palm, all had them out 3 weeks ago, rightfully so. But what these two teams have both done to turn around their seasons, save in Texas's coach, in Texas's case, the coach's job, in UCLA to give the coach credibility in a new environment. I got to give kudos to both of these programs that, you know, have a lot of money behind them, and it's finally come to the fore. They're picking up. Shaka's doing what he's supposed to do, playing havoc. He's starting to play havoc again, which is what you're supposed to do. And Cronin has got his sea legs under him. And wow, this is a good Pac-12 they're plowing through right now. So,
Pac-12 could have seven teams in the field.
Exactly.
Let's take a look at Tytel. Let me ask you about this. I'm going to show you the other 11 seed here. This is one of our first four games. That's why I held off on it for now. And it is Wichita State versus Rutgers.
I thought that Rutgers might have slid up to the 10 line after their big win the other day. But, no, I think this is fine. I think that Rutgers can beat Wichita only because, not that I love Rutgers outside the rack, of course, but Wichita does seem to be in the free-falling category that Joby has mentioned. And they have not done great in non-conference play, as you can see. Wins at Oklahoma State are not really going to pump up anybody's expectations of them. I think Rutgers can win this game, and then BYU, I don't think they're going to destroy you, but you better have a plan for Yoli Child because he's playing like the conference player of the year right now.
My plan will be to celebrate not only making the NCAA tournament, but picking up a win in it. That's my plan.
I don't think Rutgers will get in if they do not beat Purdue. I just don't think the committee – it's too easy to leave a team out that
I think if they lose to Purdue, there's still a chance with one or maybe it's two, yeah. but at least one win in the Big Ten tournament.
Has there ever been a team with fewer than two road neutral wins?
There hasn't. No. And on top of that, when you look at the teams that were on the bubble last year, so the 11 – the first four teams, the four first four, and then the other two on the 11 line, they all had no fewer than seven wins away from home. It was a distinct, you know, outlier between who they took and who they didn't. And with eight of those same people back, I don't think the committee is going to take Rutgers if they don't win at Purdue. Yeah. Almost think they need to
either have to win at Purdue or win one game at least one game in the Big Ten tournament, because that would be a neutral win.
It would be, but I could still see them not taking them on the grounds that they just didn't do enough away
from. Chad, it could be Rutgers, Michigan, part three in the 8-9 matchup.
Yeah. Does Rutgers have a case? Yes. But with this particular committee, with what they did a year ago with the bubble, I don't think they'll take Rutgers.
Right.
But I'm not the committee guessing
it. With the win at Purdue, you've now got 11 wins in the Big Ten conference, and I don't see how they could be left out on the other hand. But
yeah,
that's why this game this week, it is such a huge game.
Very important.
Little bit. What about
game of the year?
I'm curious to see if Purdue's name is called here.
Well, I'm going to show one of the 12 seeds, and it's not our other four games. Actually, the next team up was Northern Iowa inside the bubble cut line, but barely so, to the point where if they lose in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament before the without winning it, they may not make it in. But Rocco, let me bring you in here for the other first four game. It's also in the Midwest region, so it'll be Butler's opponent. I think it is. Let's see here. I think I'll pull up the right one here.
Man, I'm getting nervous.
There it is. Stanford versus Purdue. How about
Well, okay. I got thoughts on both. So, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Okay. So Stanford, obviously, if the Beavers have anything to say about this, they're out. They're up by seven right now in the second half. But as the case rests right now, I'm not the biggest fan of putting Stanford in unless they get a win at Oregon this weekend, maybe even a sweep, because I just don't think they've got enough wins away from home. I think what they've done away from home is they won at UCLA, and they got a neutral blowout against Oklahoma. But UCLA and Oklahoma are like 10-11 seeds. It's not like they beat anybody in the top half of the bracket away from home. Everything else is some head scratchers. They had a stretch of the season where they were 1-6. I just don't think they've done quite enough compared to some of the other options. I would take a Richmond over them, as a matter of fact. I would take an NC State. I would definitely take an NC State over them, a team that's won at Virginia, that beat Duke. And so there's a couple gripes I have. We're splitting hairs, but I do like those two teams better. Purdue, per se, obviously, we've got the easy decision with them. If they lose to Rutgers, they're done because they'll end up with 16 losses. They beat Rutgers. I think they're going to find a way in. And then at that point, I don't think they're going to go to Dayton. I think they're going to be a later 10 seed or a high 11 seed.
300% with Rocco on Purdue.
I agree.
I've been saying this two loss, two. You got to be two above. You got to be two above. You got to be two above. You beat Rutgers at home. You can lose that big tournament, 10 tournament, and you're two above. I don't think if they beat Rutgers and lose, I don't see them as a 10 seed. I actually do think they might fall still into the first four. But depending on what happens around the world, around us, bid thieves, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly, yeah.
But Purdue, I mean, as big as this is for Rutgers, it's as big for Purdue as well. This could be a play-in game for these teams, even with the Big Ten tournament loop.
And because of the loss factor, it's actually, if you had to decide, it's actually bigger for Purdue. Because if they lose it, they're done. Rutgers actually could go to the tournament and get two wins. So they're technically still alive.
If we were not going to put Stanford or Purdue in, I'm going to reveal on the bottom here. First, the top four teams out. Rocco already mentioned a team like Richmond or an NC State. They're both on that list, along with Cincinnati and a Utah State team that, for the second week in a row, is struggling with New Mexico as we record this, which would absolutely knock them completely off of there. But one of the things that I'm seeing here, though, Tytel, let me ask you this question here. I'm not seeing very much beyond what's in here that's really – you don't completely hold your nose at. Maybe those top two, and that's about it. I think it's ugly beyond Richmond, doesn't it?
I'm not giving up. I am giving up on Utah State, I think. I'm not giving up on Cincinnati only because I agree, like, they're not playing great this week. But I think that when you have, even though the American does not have, like, a bunch of, like, protected seeds, if they get in the conference tournament and can beat, like, Houston and Wichita State and then lose in the tourney title game, I think they have – I think those can be tier one or high tier two wins, depending.
Well, but look at – I mean, this is the point where if I got that profile on the left there, when you've only got two wins in tier one and they're both 1B wins now, and you got those four stinkers in quad three, it's – you got to hold your nose at this.
Yeah,
more so than a Stanford, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree. Well, yeah, I wasn't as big on Stanford, but I actually like this NC State team. Can we look at them real quick, Jeff?
Yeah, NC State again. You've got the quad three losses again, not as bad as Cincinnati's, and you've got some better wins, but you've got the bad loss to North Carolina, and they lost the college loss.
And I actually, North Carolina's a better, is a better team.
That may end up being a tier two loss if Carolina gets another one.
Well, North Carolina to get out of it needs to be Duke this weekend. I don't know if they can. So, so I don't know if it'll be. I don't know if they can jump nine spots.
You do have good nice wins there in quad one, a lot better than Houston and at Wichita, I think.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at the top of the profile, Duke, Whiskey, like at Virginia, that's a pretty good win. At Greensboro, even going down in the tier two. I just think that there's a little more there than, say, like on a team like St. Mary's profile.
We're not going to go back to St. Mary's. What about, Rocco, you mentioned Richmond. I'll pull them up real briefly here on the left as well. Not a lot of bad. They did beat Wisconsin. They won at Rhode Island, so it's okay, I guess.
Yeah. I think Rhode Island, pretty much off the board at this point. They don't really have a way to play themselves back in after last night's debacle, because they're going to end up on the other side of the bracket as Dayton as long as they beat UMass. And if they don't beat UMass, they're definitely out anyway. So they don't have a path anymore. But the one thing helping Richmond was that, hey, Rhode Island was a bubble team most of the year. They won on their court. They also got this Wisconsin win on a neutral court, which I think is the kind of the main thing. I think the committee wants to bring two AC-10 teams in. That's just more of a personal gut feeling I have. And I think if Richmond can win all the games they're supposed to from here and they just lose to Dayton in the finals, I think they find a way in.
Is every team we're considering, they all beat Wisconsin for their good win? Paris, Richmond, NC State.
There's something to be said about that. Whiskey didn't catch fire until about a month ago.
I got seven more teams that got vote, not to be necessarily in the field, but among the top teams out as well. South Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi State, St. Louis, Rhode Island, Memphis. Again, I think that maybe, South Carolina or especially Tennessee still have paths left at least, though.
The Georgia, Missouri, they didn't get votes. Neither Vanderbilt, didn't get all these.
I would hope not.
We have four SEC teams there, the next four out. That is kind of funny, yeah. I'm going to go through real quickly here, potential matchups here. Let me first start by the other two 12 seeds. We've got Auburn.
We did cover these teams. Just
so the NIT, should that be renamed the SEC Invitational?
It might need to be the SIT. Auburn is going to get Yale and Penn State, a Stephen F. Austin team that is, if they had about, three or four more weeks worth of picking up bad wins, they could probably get on the bubble. But it's just there's no path for SFA short of a Southland Conference Tournament Championship. But let me go through here and reveal everything else here. The 13 seeds, these are the teams that are potential matches for the four seeds. We have Ohio State against a tough New Mexico State team, Oregon against North Texas, Louisville against a Liberty team that just made it tonight into the ASUN championship game, Duke against Vermont, a very interesting game there, I think.
That wouldn't be an easy game.
No. In Greensboro, want to bet?
you got a whole Maryland.
Who did Duke lose to in Charlotte? That's a 2:15 matchup. Who did they lose to?
Lehigh. A couple years ago?
Lehigh.
Yeah, Lehigh. So,
yeah.
Greensboro, Maryland, who cares?
Maryland is the other team in Greensboro. They will travel and they do not like Duke. North Carolina, who bought up all the tickets, they might sell them, but they're going, they don't like Duke. This Greensboro's not a fun place for Duke to play.
Like I said, Vermont really would not be an easy game for Duke. Vermont's not a pushover.
Right. No, they're
Let's look at the 14 seeds as well. Kentucky in the Midwest region gets Colgate. Creighton gets Little Rock. Michigan State gets Hofstra, and Maryland gets a tough little Akron team there. It's not an easy first-round game for Maryland, actually.
Yeah, this Hofstra team playing really well right now, too, usually.
Mm-hmm. The 15 seeds, these are the first-round matches for the two seeds. Seton Hall, we've got them matched up against North Dakota State, Florida State against Belmont, Villanova against UC Irvine having to come cross-country, and the Battle of Dayton in Cleveland,
Dayton and Wright State.
Love that. There's a real good chance that actually happens this year, too. Finally, in the East region, in the 16 seeds, the Midwest region, Kansas gets Radford. Baylor gets a win over a Prairie View Siena game. The Zags get a win over a Robert Morris North Carolina A&T game. San Diego State gets Eastern Washington.
Or Northern Colorado or Montana.
Yeah. But for today, I had Eastern Washington in the first place. But that is the bracket, and those are our top teams out. What I want to do here is just run through each of you for any other thoughts on what we did or anything else you want to comment on. And Rocco, let me start with you, and I'll work our way up the screen here.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the focus at this point shifts to the bubble, and it probably has for a while, but it's really coming under the microscope. We're running out of path room. I took three more teams off the board last night, I think Rhode Island being the one that really kind of caught my eye just because the side of the bracket they're going to have to be on and not having the opportunities, but also teams like Georgetown came off the board as well. So we're really getting down to the nitty gritty. I think we're at about 15 or 16 teams for the last five spots. And then if we had bid thieves, we might only have two or three spots. So you see a Wichita State team down by 12 right now. You see potential for UCLA to play at USC this week. Not going to be easy. You see Texas Tech free falling. There's so many things that are going to happen. It's going to be awesome. But I wouldn't give up if I'm Utah State. I'll defend them a little bit. I like the program. I know I've met the coach, Coach Craig Smith, very likable team. They don't have the most likable profile, but I do think they get to a Mountain West final, and if they can at least give San Diego State a war, they'll give the committee a lot to think about, and then they just sit back and hope all these other teams trip up. It'll be really awesome to watch as it is every year.
Yeah, Stanford's struggling at Oregon State as we record this as well. So there's another team that could fall right off. Tytel.
I have one note on the bracket and one note outside the bracket. So on the bracket, I think we and you are correct to put all of the Big Ten in like the 3-4-5-6-7 range, which sets up the possibility for a couple 3-6 games there we see of Big Ten team against Big Ten team. I love that familiarity breeds contempt. We could see multiple matchups of teams who play for the fourth time this season, depending if they play each other next week in the Big Ten tourney and then again in the NCAA tourney. It takes a lot for that to happen, but when you see teams playing four times and it's in like a three-month span, you're going to see teams that know every single thing the other guy's going to do. It's going to be a war, and it'll be great. As far as outside the bracket, I saw that you put Liberty in as the 13th seed. I would pump the brakes on that just a bit. Lipscomb, they were 8-14 back on February 1st. Sophomore center Asan Asadula, he might lead the Bisons to the tourney title all by himself in the Atlantic Sun. 40 points and 14 boards and a 5-point win over Florida Gulf Coast on Tuesday.
On the road.
27 points, 19 boards, and a 2-point win at North Florida on Thursday tonight. Liberty does host the title game as the higher seeded team, which will probably make the difference because they have not lost at home since January of last year. Then again, they've not seen a big man like this since last year, when Kerry Blackshear had 19-9 against him in the NCAA tourney for Virginia Tech.
Well, I would just throw out there, we're going to be doing our championship week video notebook way later where we talk a little more about those ASUN games there. Liberty, in both their first two games of the ASUN tournament, was not dominant in any manner whatsoever. And they lost to Lipscomb at Lipscomb to end the regular season. So I like the pick of Lipscomb to actually win that game on Sunday. But, Joby, let me turn to you.
Well, it'll be interesting if Liberty does play Louisville, because Tony Bennett seems to have Louisville's number for whatever reason. It'll be interesting if one of his longtime assistants, Richie McKay, who now is Liberty's head coach, has that same magic, so to speak. He does have the same system, and Louisville does struggle with it. It's interesting, and I'll feed off what Rocco was saying. You know, we're seeing the bubble. I don't think it's necessarily a weak bubble. Last year seemed like it was a weak bubble. This year, it just seems like a normal year when looking at bubble teams. But I think there are definitive lines being drawn. I feel like you can separate teams distinctly. In the bracket matrix or whatever you want to watch, I think you will see a lot of 68 for 68s this year, much like 2018 had a lot of 68 for 68s. I think, you know, we'll know what Purdue is. Purdue is in if they're two above, but they're not if they're not. It makes a bracketologist's job very easy. Mm-hmm. So depending on bid thieves, et cetera, I think you're not going to see the uproar that often you see over this, because I don't think the calls right at the bubble are as close. Everybody knows Cincinnati's not as good as the teams we have in this field. You know, I mean, yes, you can argue NC State and here, but, you know, that's one team here or there. We're not going to have the massive numbers that we normally have because it's just not setting up, with one exception. Old Dixie's going to be really angry because they can't believe their basketball teams all were left out. You know, you're going to be all left out.
So Joby, you're not on my Tulsa bandwagon, huh? Well, the at-large bid when they win the American regular season outright and then lose in the conference tournament final.
Here's interesting, Chad. What I have said is the bit. I don't think Tulsa's an at-large team, but what I do think, I'm calling it right now, a bid thief will come out of the American. I'm picking Memphis, who's right now taking it to Wichita State. I've been picking Memphis as that team. But I could see it be I could see it be UConn. I do not think Houston or Wichita State will win that conference. If Wichita State loses tonight, they probably still are in because there's that differentiation on the bubble. But, man, they're playing with fire. Yeah, you know, and so it's just that there's no team ready to take their spot. Not that they are well deserving of being in.
Mike, let me turn to you. Get the bracket back up here.
I don't have a problem with the bracket in general. I mean, nothing against Joby, but I think Virginia at 7 is a little high. Now, could they eventually get there? Perhaps, but right now I'd say no. But otherwise, it's I don't have a problem with the bracket.
Okay. David, you want to finish us off?
Yeah. Something we've never really talked much about. I mean, we've danced around it a little bit is the question of whether or not recency bias should come into play when it comes to seeding, even if it's just a little bit. I don't think that it should in terms of selection, but in seeding, you'd almost kind of like to see it. Providence on the 8 line is not only not fair to them, it's probably even more unfair to Baylor or LSU or teams that have earned the right to not have to play a team that's playing like a protected seed in one of the first two rounds. So I'm not just saying it should be fair, not just to be fair to the team that's suddenly gotten hot and is playing well, but maybe just fair to the bracket in general. Should recency bias come back last 10, last 12 as a consideration, not even emphasis, but as consideration for seeding, not selection? I would argue that it should. There's other teams that are really playing better than their paper too, although none to the degree that Providence is.
Yeah, I mean, St. Mary's is playing well, way better than their paper, so I got to agree with you there.
Chad, my dislike for you is no lower today than it was a month ago.
On that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We will have one more bracket rundown show early next week. We are also going to have championship week video notebooks every single night from here on out. But on behalf of Mike Cha, David Griggs from the Puppet Bunker, John Titel, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org and the Little Roccos, Joby Fortson, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again very soon.